Welcome to the Becoming Your Best podcast. We're here to provide you and your team with the resources, tools, and content to achieve your greatest potential. For those interested in additional resources or services, such as the weekly planners, online planners for Chrome or Outlook, keynotes, live training, coaching, or certification, you can visit our website at becomingyourbest.com. Now, when you listen to an episode that resonates with you, we invite you to share it with your family, friends, and team members so that they can experience the same type of motivation and results in their lives. Also, if you haven't already subscribed, please hit the subscribe button. It works on Apple, Stitcher, Google, or whatever platform you're using so that you can get a new podcast reminder each week. Now sit back, let's get started, and we hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to all of our Becoming Your Best podcast listeners, wherever you may be in the world today. As you know, we are so excited to have you joining the Becoming Your Best podcast show. You're the reason that we do this. We love your energy, the feedback that you give. It's a delight for us. We have an awesome guest here with us today. Let me tell you just a little bit about her. She is the founder and CEO of Mission Partners, a woman-owned strategic communications firm, and a certified B Corporation that guides high-potential nonprofits, foundations, and socially responsible corporations in realizing their greatest social impact. And since launching her first firm in 2004, she's guided hundreds of organizations around the world to lead with purpose, fueling organizations and the missions forward in new and more impactful ways. Her signature, more than words, approach to courageous communication has been documented in the Amazon best-selling book of the same name. So welcome, Carrie Fox.
Thanks so much, Steve, for having me. Nice to be here with you.
So excited to have you. I'd like to tell you a little bit more about Carrie because I think it will give some context to our visit today. Her work really focuses deeply on issues of community. So from social justice to sustainability, children's health, higher education, and workforce development. These are all really big time impacts on helping to unleash the best that people have within themselves and contributing to a healthy world. These are a big deal. She's had a lot of initiatives that really make a difference. And I love that work. Her signature conversation series and podcast, Mission Forward, has featured Pulitzer Prize winning journalists, MacArthur fellows, and some of the nation's most sought after philanthropy leaders. She's the author of More Than Words, Communication Practices of Courageous Leaders, and also Adventures in Kindness, 52 Awesome Adventures for Kids to Build a Better World. So these are fun things. So Carrie, let's get into us. I'd love to have you tell our listeners about your background, including any turning points in your life that have had a significant impact on you.
Well, that sounds great. Thank you so much for that introduction. So Steve, I grew up in Northern New Jersey. My mom was an elementary school teacher. My dad was a small business owner. And they instilled in me very early this power of service and civic engagement. My mom had us volunteering every weekend. Any chance we could, she had us doing something in service of our community. And she recognized that every single person can make an impact in this world. Regardless of who you are, where you live, what resources you have, you can do something to make the life of someone else better. And my dad taught me that nothing was out of my reach, right? And that values and living your values matters. So I grew up, I went to Loyola University in Maryland. I became engaged in student government there, and I learned the concept of corporate social responsibility. And I realized that I wanted to do something that mattered, right? I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I always have. And so I wanted to think about, if I go into business, I want that work to matter. I don't know if I want to go to a nonprofit, but I want to do something that's going to have a meaningful impact. And then I got a job that would set me on that course. My first job was the director of communications for Cal Ripken Jr., who was at the time, still playing baseball for the Orioles. He was getting ready for his retirement. I helped him start his foundation, traveled many times with him to Washington, D.C., to the White House, and thinking about how he could use his brand and his platform to support the lives of other people. And that really inspired so much in me. So after a few years, I left what was called Ripken Baseball, joined a public affairs firm in D.C., and then I opened up my own shop when I was 25, so about 20 years ago now.
Okay, well, that's really exciting. What a background. Tell us what Mission Partners is.
Mission Partners is a social impact communications firm. We operate at kind of a unique spot, Steve. So we are a public relations firm, but we operate at this kind of interesting intersection where we are doing public relations, policy, and philanthropy. And we think about those three actions as the three greatest levers to impact long-term change in the world, right? That you need to have the money, you need to have the policies to support you to make sure that change can happen on a really big level, and you need to be able to tell the stories that move people, right? The stories that touch people at their core are the stories that move people to action. So that's what we have the true honor of doing every day in support of many nonprofits and foundations all around the U.S.
So, Carrie, what does it mean to have a triple bottom line approach to business?
So for those of your listeners who aren't familiar with this idea of a B corporation or a benefit corporation, it's still a pretty new concept. And really, I like to think about it as it sits between a traditional for-profit and a nonprofit, right? Instead of being driven by one bottom line, which is profit, we're driven by a triple bottom line. We are thinking about people, planet, and purpose. And then, yeah, of course, we're thinking about profit, but really we're thinking about what do we do with that profit, right? How do we steward that profit to be able to support the world around us? So with that triple bottom line, we have the freedom and the opportunity to then think about how do we best support our people in our workplace? How do we create a workplace that's mentally healthy and that can support people in thriving? We get to think about what impact we want to have on the world. And we get to think about how do we want to distribute our resources so that everyone in the company can be in a wealth-building position, not just the people at the top.
All right. So a lot of companies struggle with really how to evolve age-old business practices to be better for the world. So how would you guide an organization to start when the process feels a little bit maybe overwhelming?
That's a great question. There are two words that I think are so important, Steve, and I think you will appreciate this. Two words are what if, right? So many times we think we need to do things because we're supposed to do those things. We're supposed to run our company in a certain way. We're supposed to hit certain milestones. If it worked for that company, it's going to work for me. And think about, though, instead, what you are trying to advance in the world, right? And so if you exist to help people be their best, you do this very well. How much of your time is spent on doing just that, right? And how can you experiment and evolve over time to increase that impact? So nothing about impact is immediate. It's a long game, we like to say. But for someone who's thinking, how do I evolve these age-old practices? Start first by saying, what if? What if I just changed a little something? And then what if I changed a little bit more? And you know, before you realize it, you'll look back and realize that you've climbed quite a few mountains to get to where you are too.
Do you mind sharing with our listeners today, as you think about your work with Mission Partners, an example, if you're able to, of how you help a company do that? How do you help them be successful, whether it's a social impact organization, it's a benefit, a B corporation? How can they be successful at doing that? And what are some strategies you recommend to them?
I'm so glad you asked this. I'm going to give you an example of an organization who came to us wanting to have a purpose and not knowing what that purpose was, because this can be pretty common for organizations. It was a mortgage company that came to us and said, we are growing by leaps and bounds. We have a team all over the country. We are very profitable, but we don't really know what our purpose is other than being the best at what we do, right? We are really strong at being a mortgage company, but we want this work to matter at a different level. And so we took them through a process of determining what they wanted their legacy to be, what they wanted their long-term impact, long after all of them had left the company, what they would leave behind. And that allowed them to think about where they were investing their resources, what would happen if they actually pooled those resources and what kind of greater impact they'd have. And at the end of the day, they cared about housing. They cared about affordable housing. They cared about safe housing. And so they ended up actually launching a foundation that over the last few years has been able to make a meaningful impact in the communities where they operate. So it went from knowing that they were delivering a business and service really well to delivering a business and service really well that will also have long-term and lasting impact for their community.
Carrie, as you look back over your career, what are some of the most satisfying experiences that you've had?
I'll tell you right away, one that always comes to mind. I had the great opportunity, Steve, to launch a campaign called Success Beyond 18. And it was launched several years ago in response to some issues that were happening in the foster care system and child welfare in the U.S. So at the time, about 40,000 young people every year were aging out of care on their 18th birthday, right? And so if you're not familiar with this, and I suspect you probably are, for many people on their 18th birthday, their time in foster care simply comes to an end. And if you can think back to your 18th birthday, you probably weren't ready to be totally out on your own, right? No family, no bank account, no job, no place to live. That was the common experience for young people aging out of care. And so we launched a campaign that was designed to change federal and state policy, designed to support young person and their ability to stay in foster care in loving, supportive families for a few more years through the age of 25. So that Success Beyond 18 campaign resulted in more than 25 states changing the law and several thousand young people having a better shot at long-term success in life. So I'm really proud of what that did because of the great impact it had on people.
You know, it's not a piece of cake to do that. You had to have this inspiring idea from your background and experience that this was something important to do. So just as a from a leadership point of view and taking ideas that we all have, and as we all know, if you can have an idea, and especially it's something that's passionate and meaningful to you, and you feel like it makes a difference, it's transformational. But then you have to make it a reality. So how did you take that idea, which is so cool, and make it a reality? What was the process? Like, that's a lot of effort, that many states, and how did you do it?
So there was an incredible team that came together, started first with a nonprofit that at the time was called the Jim Casey Youth Opportunities Initiative. And the leader at the time of that organization had one line that ended up serving as the basis for all of the campaign. He said, "This is an issue we can literally wrap our arms around," right? There's a lot of issues that feel intractable. But if you think about 40,000 young people, you could change the trajectory of every single one of their lives with a state-by-state approach. And it wasn't us that went state by state to all of the offices of elected officials. We actually engaged young people who were in foster care, who were willing and wanted to tell their own personal stories about what it was like in care and the benefit of what it would be like to be able to stay in care a bit longer. And Steve, at the end of the day, it was their stories that changed the trajectory of the field. There's still a lot to do in this field. I will tell you that. There's still a lot of important work to do. But it came down to people who had really powerful stories and were willing to use their voice for change. And that, I think, is also a really important piece of this, Steve, is so many of us underestimate the value of our own voice. And I think this campaign was a great example that our voices have much more power than I think many times we realize.
That's inspiring. Way to leverage that whole thing and make a difference. So, of course, I wrote a book. We talked about this and, you know, about becoming your best, the 12 principles of highly successful leaders. And you wrote a book on the practices of courageous leaders. And not surprisingly, there's a lot of commonality between these books. They're principles. We didn't discover them. We're just able to describe them. But the impact is absolutely predictable every time as it ends up having a positive impact, helping us be more successful. Tell us about the practices in your book and how you came about developing them.
I'm happy to do that. First, I will show you what's on my desk that I absolutely love is my copy of your book. So thank you for turning me on to this great resource. I'm really enjoying it and I plan to share it with a lot of people. But you are right. There is so much in common about your approach and mine. So in More Than Words, I've got these four practices and I have built them over these 20 years of watching highly effective, compassionate, courageous leaders, what they have in common. And so the four things that I found they have in common is that they are willing to dare, and specifically dare to ask. They're willing to question assumptions. They're willing to challenge the norms. Just because something's always been a way doesn't mean it has to be that way. And so I really love and admire that about courageous leaders, is they're willing to ask and dare to ask specifically. The second piece, they're willing to dig in, right? Superficial commitments do not create lasting change. And so to make your work matter, what I have found is the most courageous leaders are willing to dig into the work. They're willing to learn alongside their team. They're willing to say, I don't know, but let's figure it out together. And I love that. I love that really the most courageous leaders will say, I don't have the answers, but I'm willing to dig in and figure it out and do it together as part of a team. So that's number two, digging in. Three is widening your lens. It's easy, right, Steve, to get stuck in this head down mentality. And what I have learned is that courageous leaders both look inward, truly inward at themselves, but they also look outward, right? They seek to learn beyond their existing network, beyond their existing LinkedIn network, beyond who they know, the like-minded network they might operate in. They really are willing to challenge and go outside of that network to learn and find solutions that might apply to their work. And then the last one, you know, maybe is the most common sense, but the most important is follow through. Courageous leaders won't say something and then walk away from it. They will do what they say they're going to do over and over again. So those are the four principles. What I have found is that those are principles you can learn and you can apply and you can hone. And it's a practice, right? Becoming your best or becoming a courageous leader is really a practice. You must do it day in and day out.
Lovely thought. So just a little question on that, expanding on one of those, and it has a significant impact, and that is maintaining strong relationships and also expanding upon your network. So how have you found, Carrie, are the best ways to not only maintain strong relationships and nurture those and keep those alive, but also expand your network? What are some of the tricks of the trade?
Well, here's my favorite trick of the trade, Steve, is when I meet someone I really admire and expect that I might do this to you, I say, you know, I love learning from you and having you in my network. Who do I not know that I should? And would you be willing to introduce me?
Wow, that's a good one, isn't it?
So you're constantly expanding your network and you're using those you admire to help you meet folks that you don't know today.
And so how do you nurture that? Once somebody recommends somebody, how do you approach them and what does that look like?
Pure sense of curiosity, right? I mean, it gives me a chance to, if you admire them, Steve, then there's something in them that I can learn from too. And, you know, I try to learn something from everyone. I try to learn something new every day. I was just listening to one of your episodes actually about happiness and how you find happiness. And to me, how I find happiness is just to be curious, to learn something new every day.
Yeah, wonderful. So in addition to running a social impact communications firm, you host a podcast. So like you're an old hand at this. You're probably just laughing under your breath here and saying, oh man, look at this guy go.
Hey, you got like 480 episodes, Steve. I mean, you're doing a lot of things right over there.
That is a few, isn't it? But you're also writing a weekly newsletter and you've written kids' books and business books. So I have two questions. The first question is, how do you maintain a positive, happy balance in your life? Because I can tell just from visiting with you, you are a positive, happy person. So let's deal with that one first. And then I've got one follow-up question.
Life can be so hard, right? And it's easy to get lost in the hard. It's also really fun to find joy in it. And I just think, you know, I'm the mom of two wonderful daughters, a fifth grader and an eighth grader, who both experienced elementary school through COVID and, you know, came through that with some difficulties, but came through it. And I just keep thinking, Steve, my goodness, this life is short. And if we're not going to find joy in it, if we're not going to learn from each other, and if we're not going to leave it better than we found it, then what's the point of it all? I guess maybe that's just my outlook, is there's always something to be inspired by, and there's always someone to be inspired by and to keep us moving forward. And then if I think about the work, you know, it's so interesting. Adventures in Kindness was the first book I wrote, and I wrote it with my daughter when she was 10. And I say, I have a kindness book for kids and I have a kindness book for adults, which is the More Than Words book. And isn't that what we all kind of need, right? We all need to build a practice where we're a little softer around the edges, where we're a little more willing to give people grace and support. And maybe if anything, if I think about what I'm doing in this life, I'm just trying to be a mirror back to all of the incredible people that I see in front of me.
I love that attitude. So certainly one of the most wonderful thoughts around that we can ponder on and reflect on is, and believe in, is that our best is yet to be. And you've done a lot of really amazing things. How do you cultivate that spirit for you? The belief that the best is yet to be. Do you feel that way?
I do feel that way. I do. I mean, it's hard to say the best is behind us. What's the fun in that, right? Of course, the best is yet to be. Every day we've got a chance to do something new, to try something new, to meet someone new. There's so much ahead of us. And so I just want to make sure there's a little quote framed downstairs right in the hallway of our house that says, you know, this day will fly by unless you stop and pause and actually appreciate it. And how often that happens that I'll look at the calendar and I'll realize, oh my gosh, this day went by and I didn't even pause to realize this day will never happen again. So it's nice just to ground ourselves as much as we can, because life is short and it goes fast.
It does. And it's a great feeling too, to have that belief. I know that you're doing that, that you're sitting back and it's part of your nature, I'll bet, is to say, okay, I've been blessed with so many great experiences. And you're thinking, okay, I know there's still some really great ways I can keep building upon that experience to have a greater impact. You're not stressed out over it. It's just a feeling.
I don't want to show you my stress, Steve.
Well, whether you're a parent or a coach or whatever, we look at our children, or I'm a grandparent, look at my, how can I do better? Some people, as they grow older, think, well, I've pretty well done it. But we can never underestimate the influence that we have, right? To the, like Carrie was just saying, to the very last day we're blessed to live. And maybe some of that very best isn't about a book we wrote or anything else, but it's how we lived right to the end, and that we keep trying, and that inspires others to keep trying.
Absolutely. I believe really firmly in the butterfly effect, Steve. So the actions we take will impact the actions of others. And so might as well make those actions good ones, because they might have an impact on the person who takes them and does something with them.
Carrie, if you were sitting back and having the opportunity to visit with your children about their future or about just some people in general, and you were thinking about your life lessons and wanted to leave them with some of the best messages that you could, what are some of the most important life lessons you've had that you think would help them?
Well, it goes back to the first life lessons that were instilled in me. Know what you stand for and know what you don't stand for. Both are important to know. Find something that you love, that makes you happy, and run after it, even if others say it's not going to be possible. So many people, Steve, told me I could never build a business supporting nonprofits. They said, you will fail in your first year. And I said, let me prove it, right? Let me prove that I can do something here. So if you believe firmly in it, don't have somebody else stop you from advancing that dream. And maybe the last piece is, you are capable of so much more than you realize. I think we are all capable of more than we realize.
That's great. Well, we're at the end of our interview and loved it. It's been so fun. You are amazing.
Well, thank you. Thank you for everything you do and for what you have inspired in millions of people.
Oh, well, thank you. And any final tips you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Just on that point, that people are capable of more than they realize. So I write this weekly article every week. And the piece that I'm holding on to this week is in an article that I released just earlier today. So when we are talking, it is at the start of March Madness. It is the start of basketball season. There is a viral video that has been going around actually for quite some time now from the head basketball coach at Duke, women's basketball coach, a woman named Carol Lawson, who has this incredible 4-minute video. She talks about how if you're waiting for life to get easier, it won't, right? Life doesn't get easier. You learn to handle hard better. And I love that. I just love it. So this idea that we are capable of so much more, that your best is yet to come, and that you are every day as you grow stronger, that you're capable of more than you realize.
Oh, that's an awesome thought. I don't want to put you on the spot. Do you remember the coach's name?
Carol Lawson.
That's it. Yeah, she's amazing, isn't she?
She is amazing.
She's a fireball. This fun.
Yes, she is.
Well, good. How can people find out about what you're doing?
Yeah, so head over to missionforward.us. That's where you can find the podcast and the book and all of our other resources. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Carrie Fox, PR.
Okay, good. That's Carrie Fox, FOX.
You got it.
All right. Well, it's been a delight to have you on the show today. Thank you. And really, a congratulations for all the good work you're doing.
Thanks so much, Steve.
And to our listeners, I hope that you picked out some things that are inspiring for you today. I have, and I love having the chance, the privilege, the honor of being able to host this show and be together with you. I have a sense, and I can feel it from Carrie. She feels the same way. It's a real trust, because we know that you're going out and applying these and making the world a better place. So thank you so much for joining us. This is Steve Schallenberger signing off, wishing you a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Becoming Your Best podcast. If there was something in this podcast that you felt would be helpful for a family member, a friend, or even a coworker, we invite you to share this podcast with them now while you're thinking about it. Also, remember to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Now, for additional resources and tools, such as how to join our monthly peak performance coaching program, or how to get certified as a trainer or coach, or schedule a workshop or keynote, you can visit our website at becomingyourbest.com. We're here to provide you and your team with the resources, tools, and content to achieve your greatest potential. So thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day and a great week.